And I'm going to be starting with verse number one, just sharing from this a new life in Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Seleniki, slave, and I butchered that up. I've been practicing that word, but I didn't master it, all right? But Christ is all in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the body. And he thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us your love letter, in which we have readily accessible to us. Thank you for giving us that life-giving flow. This morning, it is my prayer that your word would not only be heard, but that we would make it a part of our lives. We would affix it to ourselves. Encourage each one who is here and listening. Let me speak with boldness this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Part of a Christian, part of the new Christian walk, you need to put things of death away. Things that are not good for you. And sometimes getting rid of those things, you know, the things you used to participate in, the things you used to read, the things you used to listen to, you need to put that away. And sometimes that calls for some radical action. I shared a long time ago about this friend of mine. He didn't like what was on TV. He said, I'm raising my kids, and I'm not going to have this mess in my house. So he took his brand, I don't know how new it was, but he took a flat, his flat screen TV out on the balcony and threw it out this in the yard and crashed. He said, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have my kids watching this junk. Now, I know some kids are like, oh, no, JR, please. Mom and Dad, don't listen to Pastor JR. But that's very radical. But it was necessary. He was making a statement. On the positive side, we are to cultivate a new life in Christ. Paul in Colossians 3:10 tells us we must have a renewed or strengthened. We must be strengthened. We must renovate. These are verbs. And I know that my 7th grade English teacher, Mrs. Good, would be tripping out right now because she's like, he paid attention. He knows what a verb is. But this verb, it's a present tense. It's something that's ongoing, renewing, strengthening. It's not something you say, okay, I went to the gym one day, I'm good. I ran a couple of miles, I don't have to run anymore. No, it's something continuous. If you're going to be in shape, you have to do it all the time, physically and spiritually. You just can't read one scripture and call it good. It's like, yeah, I'm there. You've got to be in His Word continually. So let's look at a few ways this morning where we are renewed. First of all, we are renewed and through the Word of God, all right? So in this first part of this text, Paul says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Being renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. Okay, renewed knowledge. I need more knowledge. Keep doing it. I need to be new. I need more knowledge. I'm doing it every day. Don't ever think that just because you're a Christian, don't think you've arrived. Don't think you're there. There's many of a pastor will say, hey, and many saints that will say, you know what? I saw something in the Bible that I had never seen before. And it just like spoke to me. I don't know how many times I read that verse, but I'd never seen that before. Has that ever happened to any one of you? I see heads going north and south. Okay. You're being renewed. It's knowledge. And where does this knowledge come from? It comes... Verse 16 tells us, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Kind of like that song, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory, all the half has never yet been told. younger folks, I know you don't know that song, but that is... That's good. That's good music right there. And all my super seniors are saying, yep. It's that joy unspeakable. When you have that word there, dwell, it means to come inside. It means like to come inside your house. He's in your house. You put your feet up on the table. He's there. He's in you. He's dwelling. And to dwell, you're not putting restrictions on him. You're not saying, okay, you can be in the house, but you can't go in this room. You can be in the house, but you can't go in that part of the room. You see, when you invite Jesus into your life to live out a Christ-like life, you've got to allow him total accessibility to the house. Right? You don't limit him. You don't say, okay, you're in the front door, but that's it. I think that might be a problem with some people. They're like, okay, I did this Sunday bit, high five, okay, and that's it. It's got to be more than that, church. He's got to have full accessibility to your life. You got to give him the keys to your house. Say, come on in. Come in and stay in. Renewal and character of Jesus. Secondly, renewal and character of Jesus. Verse 12 in this text, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones. You get that? As God's chosen one. God chose you. You're special. Huh? Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You know what? I'm going to read that one more time, all right? Verse 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Paul begins this verse. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, and it lists those series, those qualities found in Jesus, right? He says, have compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. We need to have those characteristics. We need to apply those characteristics to our lives, yes? And then he says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together. Some places, some versions say binds everything together in perfect harmony. Some say imperfect to perfection harmony. I think it, okay, all right, harmony. You hear that's harmony. Everything, different parts, but all connected. It says bind. Bind is also, in some translations say bond together. That's a medical word. It's used to say, okay, the ligaments are connected and they keep your bones together, they keep everything together. Some of us just had surgery on our ligaments, right? Because if we don't have that surgery on our ligaments, our bones get out of whack, right? And so we end up having like a spiritual limp, right? We have a spiritual limp, and if we're not in harmony, that's wrong. Okay, I'm not doing that right. I'm not a piano player. But have you ever, when you're singing, and you know you're supposed to be in harmony, and there's somebody that's just not there in the group, and they're supposed to be singing, and they're like, and everybody else is going, No, this phrase team rocks, all right? You guys bring it. There's no shame in your game, that's for sure. You all make a joyful noise, that's for sure. But bottom line, let me get back to this. Love binds together all these virtues that reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Love, if you will, if you don't get the ligaments, if you don't get the harmony, it's like a super glue. It binds. It keeps everything together. Thirdly, renewal and the objective. What is the purpose of the process of the renewal? Paul tells us in verse 17, he says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus, giving thanks to our God the Father through him." So when we speak and act in the name of Jesus, perhaps maybe you're wondering, okay, so when I leave here today, all right, does that mean that when I leave here and go to lunch that I got to do it in the name of Jesus? Does it mean that when I leave here and I go four-wheeling, that I'm supposed to do that in the name of Jesus? If I'm cutting down trees or whatever activity that you're involved with, if playing hockey or football, do I do it in the name of Jesus? Here are three simple and practical ideas of what it means to be doing everything in the name of Jesus. First of all, I am a representative. You are a representative of Jesus. A representative, an ambassador. Let me put it that way. You, as they say today, represent. You represent. I know that some of us, and we are part of corporations, and we have like identification cards. I know we had them in the military, but even in a company, you know, you have your name tag and, you know, who you work for. And no matter where you go, they see that tag and they're like, oh, that person represents that company. And people are watching you because you're saying that you represent them. Remember that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you ultimately, although you work for this company, Company X or Company Y, ultimately, you represent him. Are you a representative of Jesus? Do people, when they look at you in your workplaces, when you're out and about, do you have that aura about you? When people see you, they're like, oh, that's a representative of Jesus Christ. Yeah, they work at such and such a place, but no, that guy represents that woman. She's all about her Jesus. Secondly, I am in the place of Jesus. I am to speak and act as if Jesus himself were doing it. The words that come out of my mouth and the way I act need to be as though Jesus was doing it. It not only represents Jesus, but there's a sense in which we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Are you being the hands and feet of Jesus? I hope that you are. Do you have the mind of Jesus? Are you thinking the way he would think? The youth and I were, I said before, I probably can't say enough about this series Chosen, and I just really encourage you, if you haven't watched it, to watch it. The youth were doing it one episode at a time, And you get to see the humanity of Jesus too. Being like Jesus doesn't mean you have to be all pompous. Jesus didn't walk like that. He didn't say, oh, please. He didn't walk all pompous. Like, oh, I know that. You don't know anything. He didn't walk around like that. He said, hey, come here. Let me love on you a little bit. In church, that's what we need to be doing. And I don't doubt that we are. We need to continue to love on people. Yeah. Lastly, I live for the honor of Jesus. We are to live for Jesus' honor by calling attention to him, not ourselves. What does it mean to honor Christ as we gather? Our attention is drawn toward Jesus. Our conversations should attract people to Jesus. It's not about us, it's about him. Our what we say and what we do need to be pointed to him continuously. Not to ourselves, not to our religion, not to this place, but to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the subject. Are you paying attention to God's word? Are you adapting yourself to having a godly character, a Christ-like character? Are you paying attention to what Jesus is saying to you, speaking to you? He's saying, hey, listen, JR, I want you to do this. JR, don't do that. Yay, JR. Oh, JR. Are you listening to him? I pray that you are. Father, I pray right now that in this week to come, that in whatever we say, in whatever we do, that our actions would emulate you. Oh, yes, you set the bar and it's high. That's what we should want in our lives. We want there to be a high bar. We want something to strive for. We want something to reach for. We want to be like you. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us this morning would be your ambassadors and represent you well. In your name I pray. Amen.